And welcome again, this time to the Curie Beach Town Council meeting. Do we have Pastor Chris Howell? There he is. If we can have our invocation, please.
Perfect. Pray with me, please. Father God, we love you tonight and thank you for the opportunity that you've given this elected body to carry out your business today. And God, I pray that as they do that, one, that you would bless them. God, I pray that you bless those that they serve, that being the police department here at Curie Beach and the fire department. God, I pray that you bless those that work for this town day in and day out and do such a wonderful job. God, I pray that you bless the people that they represent. And God, I pray in a political time where we try to define ourselves, where we back ourselves in the corner of a D or an R, God, I pray that tonight with this body, God, may they be reflective of who you are and the character of which you hold, that humanity and morality that you desire for each of us to show one another love, that God, that would reign supreme tonight. God, as they make their decisions, God, I pray that they would remember the duty which you called them to do, the task which the people have elected them for. And God, I pray that in all that you receive all the honor and the glory. Lord, again, we just thank you for who you are. We love you and say these things in your precious name. Amen.
Amen. Join the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Pastor Howell, thank you for the Curie Beach First Baptist Church. Okay, approval and consent of agenda items.
Make a motion we approve the consent agenda items as presented.
Sorry.
I have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Adoption of the agenda.
I would like to add one thing.
Okay.
The consideration of committee business number 4, non-town committee reports. Mr. Jonathan Ferrata, who is the town representative on the bike pedestrian subcommittee of the Wilmington MPO, Metropolitan Planning. He is here to give us a little update on that, their last meeting.
Okay. All right. So we will add that to Section 4. Do I have any other changes proposed? Do I have a motion to accept the modified agenda?
Motion to accept modified agenda.
Second.
Motion and second. Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Discussion and consideration of persons to address council. Is there anyone who would like to address council on any issue?
I would like to acknowledge that good-looking family that just walked
you
in.
Craig, you got a list in front of you.
No, that is the list of individuals who spoke last time.
Oh,
with the exception of Eugene Vazuski.
Oh, I'm sorry. I misunderstood that.
Okay.
Sign paper. Sorry.
All right. Not a problem. Not a problem. Okay. No one to address council?
I thought there was somebody.
Yeah. So, I mean, that sheet is the current sheet.
It's the regular sheet.
It's just the regular sheet.
Yeah.
But no, but I mean,
it's for item, not on regular meeting notes.
Regular meeting.
Call and order.
Well, I thought it was just like attendees.
Okay. All right. So, Megan, you would like to speak about a different subject now?
Yes.
Or the same subject, similar?
Yes.
Okay. Please, come on up. Again, state your name and address.
Megan here at 133 Settlers Lane. So, I'm here on behalf of the Beach Walk Homeowners Association in this meeting in regard to, I believe it's Article 6, the parking restrictions on streets. Our neighborhood has no current on-street parking. We have a small parking area in front of our common elements for our members to use. And one concern that's been brought up at our homeowner association meetings is that by restricting street parking to the population of Curie Beach, we may have people parking in our common areas that will prevent our homeowners from parking there, as well as any of our homeowners, because there is no street parking, again, for the purposes of having a party or having visitors, we will not have the capability to keep those cars somewhere. So we want to make sure that those concerns are brought to the council here, that they understand we have concerns. And we haven't seen any big impacts as of yet since we've just had warnings posted on cars. I think people were taken a little by surprise by the warnings because they don't keep up with your website and with the minutes. I understand they were posted, but I was a little surprised that it had already been passed. I didn't realize that, and that the previous meeting to this was talking about that second one about developing things. I guess I just want to make those concerns.
Okay. Thank you. Duly noted. Thank you, Megan.
Do I need to speak again so it's recorded in these minutes, or?
If you wish to speak about, subject. You can speak about anything you like during the committee. I mean, during this council meeting.
Okay.
But we do have Gail Morris signed up.
That's
before.
Me.
Is that you? Okay, my mistake.
I'm sorry, people, that you have to listen to me again. Gail Morris, I live at 511 Surf Drive in Beachwalk in Curie Beach, and have an issue with Article 6, parking restrictions on the street. We have only space for two additional vehicles, and some of our friends are handicapped, and the only available spaces in Beachwalk for additional parking is in the common areas, as indicated by the previous speaker, and that is about two and a half blocks away. So it's if we have our friends over and they come from different directions so they can't carpool, it does cause a hardship. We cannot park on the grass because of the irrigation system. We cannot take a chance in damaging that. And we do want to recommend, I would like to recommend to the board that an option might be to extend passes to homeowners to allow for visitors their homes to park on the streets. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Council will discuss parking during old business, so stay tuned. No, that was So we've concluded that. Discussion and consideration of presentations to council. Do we have any presentations to council this evening? Okay, moving on. Discussion and consideration of committee business. Community Center Committee.
Hi, I'm Linda Brett-Kell, co-chair of that committee. And last month, I kind of brought up what the process would be to rename the center. For our lady, it was instrumental at the beginning. But when we had our last meeting just last week, we have opted to buy a really nice park bench and have a little plaque on that honoring Miss Francis, and it will be put in the proximity of where the little free library is right there by the community center. So we felt like that was a good alternative and probably a quicker process to go through it. That's an update on that. Our community center, this is our big event, and it's August the 18th from 4 to 8. It's a wonderful time to come and meet your neighbors and probably meet people that you don't know. It is our one and only, well, I'm not going to say that. You should be all on our fundraiser now. We have a couple of things in the book. But if you have a business, or where's my minister? Did he go? Okay, well, I'm going to buy a church if they'll put it on the bulletin board. But if you have a church that might put something like this on the bulletin board and just let everybody know, we still could use a couple of volunteers, and you only have to volunteer for a couple of hours. So if that's something you'd like to do, we'd love to have you. Just see me afterwards, and I'll let you know how to sign up for that. But it's a wonderful event. We're very privileged this year to have Eric Keeley, who's Nikki's husband, who's going to be our acoustical guitarist and provide music for us during the whole event. So I hope y'all come and join us. Big barbecue plate, it's only $9.
Thank you, Linda. It's a great event. Marketing Committee. Planning and Zoning.
Nothing to report.
Thank you, Bill. Non-town committee reports. Mr. Pareto.
Jonathan Pareto, 526 Fort Fisher Boulevard North. I'm the newly appointed Curry Beach rep to the WMPO Bicycle and Pedestrian Committee. So far to date, I've attended two of the meetings, which have encompassed 6 hours. And we're working on the 2045 plan currently. It's a laborious, detailed project. So I'm just going to tell you a little about what we're doing because we have a lot of other things to talk about. We're wordsmithing. And we're deciding how to rank projects. We haven't even started to talk about the projects as of yet. Some of the things, we have 15 different things that we'll rank. The four most important are safety, health and wellness, ease of mobility, and continuity. Okay, as we traverse, whether it be other than a car. So walking, pushing a stroller, running, cycling, etc. So those are some of the things that we'll be talking about. We'll be taking 400 of the old projects that are in the old bucket and deciphering and ciphering through those, as well as we'll be adding new ones as well. So I have a few ideas of my own. If any of the council members, mayor, or anyone in the community has any ideas for Curry Beach or for any place in the Wilmington area as it relates to something other than car transportation, please contact me and I'll make sure that we at least get it up on a dark group. Let's see. I think that's about it. I sort of appointed myself the official purveyor of the Pleasure Island, the entire island. So I'll go out every about 2 weeks or so and shovel stone and shovel some sand off the bike paths and so on to make it a little bit safer for the community. I've just taken that on myself because I feel like I'm getting something done as opposed to this process, which is a little bit slow. So, thanks for your time.
Thank you for your service.
Yes, sir.
Shoreline Access and Beach Protection Committee.
Nothing.
Dennis? Bill, thank you. Thanks for your service. Okay. Discussion and consideration of department head business. Administration department head, Nancy?
No items.
Finance Department Head, Arlen.
I just have one quick thing that wasn't ready, or otherwise it would have been on the consent agenda. Public Works had in their budget to purchase a new service truck. Mm-hmm. So this is the actual resolution for the financing. So it just requires council approval. And it's a typical resolution that's done for all financing. The rate that we got was 3.68% for 4 years. A little bit higher than what the rates have been recently, but you know the rates are increasing, so it's the best rate that I can get at this point in time. So really just looking for council's approval of the financing so we can move forward with that.
Okay. Make a motion we approve resolution R1808 for a previously budgeted truck for Public Works.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Thanks, Arlen.
Thank you, Arlen. Fire Department Chief Kennedy.
Nothing, sir.
Okay. Building Department. Mr. Batson.
Thank you, sir.
Sure.
First of all, the deal with road closure at Sutton's Lane. They excavated the area this morning, this afternoon. The water line was not in the location that it was supposed to be. It was on the other end of the road. It's located close to a stormwater drain, and so the attachment is still possible and will still happen. They just had to order some additional material, and it's quite possible that it may be early afternoon tomorrow before they'll have that reconciled and closed back up. So nothing we can really do about that at this point, so I just kind of wanted to update you guys on that.
Okay.
Do you have any direction for me other than letting it continue on?
Did 911, did we give them a time we'd be done, or is it open-ended?
Well, we told them we'd hope to be done within 24 hours before we left, so I can call them back.
We just need to let them know how long it's closed. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean.
See, if they could put a sign back, that start the first street back from Town Hall, that said road closed there, because there was a big truck that pulled through there trying to get out construction supplies. It was backing back up 7th Lane today. So if they could put that sign that said road closed back before that intersection, people could turn and go down.
That was on purpose, I believe, so they could deliver supplies to the town hall. Otherwise, they would have been blocking 7th Street and the fire department access.
Okay.
But I'll pass that along.
Yeah.
The other thing I wanted to bring up that came up in the meeting today, I didn't brief you on this yet, but landscaping is not part of the scope of this project. I think most of you guys knew that. It is time to think about what we're wanting to do there and who we want to design the landscaping, how we're planning on accomplishing that. So.
Good feedback. We do need to get started. And we'll have to discuss it.
We'll come up with something.
We'll come up with something.
Well, the big thing right now is trying to lay out our irrigation.
Right.
So there's going to be some sleeving that needs to happen.
Right.
Previously, we thought we had that accomplished with our site crews that are doing the work now. It was noted this morning that they don't have the time or the resources to accomplish that for us.
The way to fix the pipe?
That's what it said to me.
Okay, we'll get into it, John. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
That's an important feedback.
John, or Chief, can we make sure that road closure is lit properly so no one drives into it tonight? Like late at night?
I will survey it when I leave here.
Thanks. We don't want an accident there because we didn't light it properly. Thanks.
Okay. Police Department, Chief Bowden.
I just have one quick thing. On the eastern side of Atlantic Avenue and the southern side of the pier, that's supposed to be a handicap spot. I guess back when we did the underground utilities, it wasn't put back as a handicap spot. And just want to let you guys know, I think we should put it back as a handicap spot to meet the parking ordinance.
Okay. Yeah. Can we get that done, Jimmy?
Yeah, I'll see if I can get someone to come out and stencil something down there.
Okay. That's by ordinance, right? That's been designated as a handicap spot already.
Yes.
Yeah. So there's no action other than for us to get out there and get it painted.
So consensus is for Public Works.
Yes.
Yes.
We should put a signage to conform with our ordinance.
Yep. Public Works Department head, Mr. Meiser. I'll get it, Jimmy.
I just want to give you an update. I got the preliminary drawings for the ADA ramp.
Yes.
So this is not confirmed yet. It's got to go through council. If there's any changes or anything like that, just let me know. They did run across one thing once they had surveyed that we're kind of encroaching about 3 feet north and on the the viewing area itself. So, you know.
So it means you have to rip the whole thing down?
Basically, yes.
And move it?
Start over. I mean, you're going to have to do that anyway if you're going to build a...
So we just got to put it back up 3 feet south?
Yes.
It was going to have to come down anyway, so...
Either that or eliminate the site.
So you get quotes before you bring the maps out and just...
Yeah, I was just going to drop this map off to you guys and let you look at it, see what you thought, and then that way I can get a hold of the engineering group and let them finalize everything.
Okay. So, thank you. If you give that to Nancy, then the guys will get a chance to look at it. Anything else, Jim?
Not too much.
Okay. Recreation Department Head. Okay, Nikki. Thank you. Okay, discussion and consideration of old business. Proposed amendments to Chapter 19, as per the public hearing, of the Code of Ordinances, Section 339, Subsection 1 and 2, regarding number of vehicles that may be parked on a property at any one time.
This is a requirement for a building permit, right? Section 19 is just about the approval, right? Zoning for,
yes,
for approval.
Yeah.
Okay, which is what we talked about earlier,
yes,
on.
Right.
I just want to make sure I understood it.
Yep.
So basically, John, you back there? So basically you would use this to interpret approving plans? Is that sort of...
Are we talking about the number of cars allowed on the property?
Yes.
Yes.
Section 19339, which is bring up.
The way it's written in that ordinance, yes, sir, when it was discussed, it was my understanding that that was going to be applied across all properties in Cary Beach, whether they're new or old.
I'll have to agree with John. That's the way I interpreted it.
Okay, so what does that
mean? And I agree.
Okay, so what does that mean then, when you say it's applied? So what does that mean?
I mean, if you have a single-family home, you can have six vehicles parked at your home at any one time on the property itself. It's a duplex, top, bottom, side by side. You could have eight vehicles, and you have to divvy it up however you see fit between the two people, four and four, five and three, whatever.
So I am personally not in favor of telling people how many cars they can put in your driveway if they do not encroach on the street. But
I just want to understand, right? So Chief Bowden, how would you enforce that? Are we going to go around and count, or is a neighbor going to complain, or what? I mean, what's the concept,
sure,
right?
I mean, I'm sure it'd be a complaint. I mean, again, it was. The way it was discussed, correct me if I'm wrong, but it was really for short-term rentals. We all pointed out that one home down here on Fort Fisher Boulevard that evening that had 12 vehicles parked in front of it.
Right.
The side mirrors were signed, you know, right up to each other on the vehicles. I don't know how they got out of the cars or how they would have planned to move the cars, you know, but that was more, that was the intent that I thought that this was.
Okay, I just want to understand. I'm just trying to understand.
I didn't quite understand it that way. I thought it was about new construction.
Well, that's why I want to be clear. I want to make sure I understand, because the conversation.
In the way it's written, I mean, I guess it could be applied either way.
Yeah, it's definitely
vague. So then the question is, either town attorney or chief, what is the enforcement mechanism if someone calls you and says there's 9 cars at this house?
We would have to know how many bedrooms.
That's what I'm asking. That's what I want to understand.
Yeah,
that's what I want to understand.
That's the point.
In my viewpoint, I don't think this would be in the purview of the police department to enforce.
So it'd be you.
I believe so.
So if you got probably
would enforce it with the way our ordinances are written. This is something that would be complaint driven or reactionary enforcement.
And so if you got a complaint, right? So this house, the people on both sides are upset about the short term rentals and they're packing in people, which is what we're trying to get to, right? You get a complaint, then how do you enforce it?
You'd have to document the issue by taking a picture and
timestamp
it, and then enforce it by mail with a civil citation.
So it'd be to the owner of the property, right?
Yeah.
So even if there's a rental, which is good, because that's where I'd prefer it to go, to the owner, not to... Okay. And so then what's the citation?
General citation is $50 per occurrence per day.
$50 per occurrence per day.
So if there's 9 vehicles there, that's $250.
That's something I'd have to talk with the town attorney about, whether or not we'd address each car over the specified number.
It's a single It's a single occurrence. It doesn't matter how many cars are.
So an occurrence
you're
is
either over or under, right?
Occurrence is a
date. So you have 12 cars in 24 hours to pay $50 fine, or 9 cars.
I had offered an alternative to the P&Z after I understood where they were trying to go with this ordinance, which, in my opinion, was to regulate how many cars were at short-term rentals. And an easier way for me, I think, to enforce this would be you're only allowed to park your car in your driveway and then give a good, strong definition of what a driveway is.
Right. Well, I'm okay with that. I just want to understand the mechanism, right? So, I mean, I think it's valuable for, I think what P&Z and we're working for is for the habitual problem properties, there be a process, right? And so, you know, this process seems pretty clear. You call a building inspector, and the building inspector investigates the documents and then sends it. What I like is it doesn't go to the renter because they go away and it never fixes anything. But the owner of the property can start working on fixing his issue because some of them are advertising, put as many people as you can in here, and it's $4,000 a week. I mean, you can read the ads on VRBO, and they're totally targeting get as many people in here as possible.
So you're coming down here on Saturdays then?
Is this a rental? Is this a rental property issue?
Yes.
If this is a rental property issue, then why are we going to tell everybody in town that they have to have only so many cars?
Well, no. So it's the same issue. If you're right beside someone that puts 20 cars all over the lot, the problem is just as bad to you as if it was a rental property. The issue is still the issue.
The issue exists no matter whether it's focused on short-term rentals, but there's still houses across the street from me that loaded up. You know?
Okay.
I don't know that I know the answer. I just want to explore to understand how we got here, right? Because I think it's important to understand that. And the issue is that there are multiple complaints about high-volume properties that are packing in cars all over the place. That's the one we're trying to address with this, right? As I understand it, I'm asking the building inspector.
That was the way the discussion was being
here. Okay, I read the notes, but you don't always get the flavor out of it.
We've got members here. I mean, you might ask.
Yeah, well, you don't always get the flavor out of the notes. That's what I wanted to understand, right? And in the notes, it doesn't say the enforcement. That's, or at least I didn't pick up on it, right? And for me, it's just when we write something, I want to understand how we're going to enforce it and then what the issue is. But if it's complaint-driven, you know, and wherever you are, it could be my house. If there's all kinds of cars parked there and my neighbors are calling about it, then it's a problem. And my house has lots of cars sometimes too because I have 3 kids. And so the issue is you either get in good with your neighbors so they're not complaining or you fix the problem.
Okay. So we have a choice here.
Is there an underlying problem that you put 12 cars just means a lot of people and what the neighbors really concerned about is the noise and the beer can over in the yard and stuff like that.
You take out the parking, you can cut down on some of it.
Yes, you would. Well, but there's also a way to cut down on the noise by calling the police after 10 o'clock.
Or they load up the pre-parking in town and Uber to the rental property.
Well, we are not a community of large, high-rise motels. We are a community that has ROT taxes and sales taxes that drive a lot of the town budget based on up to 204,000 square foot homes that are really mini motels. Now, from my perspective, if we want to discuss something about managing parking in some type of way for short term parking facility or short-term rental facilities, I could be maybe interested in that discussion. I'm not really interested in the other, but we have a choice here because we have something before us as a council which says we either are going to have a motion on this or we're going to vote on it and what happens happens, or we're going to table this until people can understand precisely what it means or if it requires any modification. So I am open to the council passion on either of those points.
Well, I think it should be 6 vehicles per, I mean, I'm sorry, 8 vehicles per home.
I'm talking about whether we're going to vote on this.
I think we should table this situation so we have a clear understanding. I think we all had a difference of opinion on it because of what we were supposed to present.
When it is what you've said, I was not for it. When I understood it to be design, I could understand that. But I am okay. So let's have a motion for what, or more discussion.
There is an extension of this, in my understanding, in a situation of someone parking on my lot and getting out of a car going to the beach.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And if your enforcement is only going to be a citation, okay, this and Chief got involved with it and police officers, I'm not going to wait for somebody to come get a citation on an individual who pulls up on my lot, parks his car, and thinks this is on home. Okay, but my understanding is that those signs are not posted. Chief, is this correct? If I don't post no parking or no trespassing signs on my property, and I have that vehicle towed, my understanding was from your department that I'm liable, possibly, for anything that happens to that truck.
I don't think so. If it's on your property, which has to be your property, you can tell us. We cannot know.
And not the right of way.
Those signs are up there. From your officer told me, if I put those no trespassing signs and they're trespassing, and I charge them with trespassing, then that goes back to you. Is that true or not true?
Trespassing, yes.
Okay, so they're on my property, and I'm charging them with trespassing. At that point in time, you are involved, and you come to my lot, and I want them off my lot. That designation goes back to you to command that to be done. Is that correct or not correct?
It depends on what we do with them, yes.
Okay.
We could take them to jail. We could write them a citation. They could leave.
Or you can tell them to move his vehicle, or it will be towed.
Yeah.
Then that liability comes off my back.
Okay. I think we've lost our way slightly.
Yeah, just a little bit.
So we need to.
I'm confused. What's the trespassing have to do with that?
Yeah. Excuse me. I think we'll probably take that up as an after discussion.
Okay.
We've lost our way on this particular point. We have a proposal before council. Do I have a motion?
I'd like to make a motion. We table this item to we have a clear understanding.
I second that.
Well, what does tabling mean? So first, I want to understand, right? PNC's done a lot of work. A lot of people, so tabling doesn't work for me. It has to be traction. So he either goes back to PNC to change or what? Tabling, either drop it or work on it.
They give us a clear definition of what the changes are.
Who
in
are
the
they?
Motion should they return this issue to PNC?
Okay, I can live with that.
Right. So you want to change
okay.
it?
All right.
You want to change your motion?
I'll change my motion to table in the item and send it back to P&Z to give us a clearer direction of which way.
Or a clearer performance of what they believe.
Yeah, we'll discuss it at the August 8th meeting.
Okay. Because the decision belongs here. Anyway, okay, we have any other discussion?
So is there any guidance for P&Z? Because, I mean, sending it back without guidance doesn't really
help
them.
They need to is this going to be for all properties, or is this going to be for new construction only? I think they also need to address, I think, 6 limits too much, and it should be 8.
Well, I would be happy to give them instruction, but it would be per my personal opinion. So why don't we send it back to P&Z? I would like to understand what this is solving, and I would like to understand what is the enforcement mechanism, and I would like to understand how that is going to be applied. It's going to be applied on settlers and on 421. Those are things I would like to know. As David says, traction. So, okay. Any other discussion? Any points you want to make, David?
No, sir. That's good, I guess.
I'll second his motion.
I think you sent out an email.
Okay. All right, we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Okay. Going back to PNC. Ah, here's the one that everybody's waiting for, other parking items. Okay, we had received a variety of letters that we did look at, that we had an emergency meeting called by our guru of parking,
No need to insult anybody.
And we came up with a variety of actions that I would like to put before the council for us to discuss and potentially take action on. Now, this action would be more or less findings, which would then need to be reviewed by Public Works, by the fire department, and by the police department to see if we are make sure we're not breaking any particular state laws or any of our own ordinances. First item that came out of that meeting was the ability to send to have single lane parking on roads up to 26 feet in depth. The other lane would have to be defined as a fire lane. So that would mean one side of the street could have marked parking. The plan is to give that to the HOAs, to have the HOAs consider what streets would comply and if the HOA is willing to designate the side of the street, and we will mark it.
Mayor, do you have some idea of what the marking is? I discussed this with my HOA.
Okay.
We had a meeting Saturday, a board meeting. I'm not on that board, but I went to the meeting. There is concern that, you know, like downtown, there are 10 by 20s all the way down the road and around. They don't want that. Could you have a sign at the entry say, park on the side of the street with the street lights? Because all the street lights in my HOA are on one side of the street. Or could you have a sign and say that the fire lane is to the left or right of something?
Or
is your idea marking is all the way down the street?
Right now we have an ordinance that says you can park in the paved right of way if you have a marked space. That's what the ordinance says. So we would be marking the space. If there is some other consideration, we would have to change that ordinance for now.
Which we could.
Right? Why couldn't the HOAs make their decision? If they want marked spaces, or they could have parking on this side, which would also entail no parking on the other side. So you're going to look at proliferation of signs on the street.
If you would put, you're going to have to mark fire lane. So you'll either mark fire lane by marking the road, or you're going to have to mark fire lane with signs. So are you going to have a fire lane sign in front of every home? Otherwise, people see, hey, they're parking over there. Why can't I park over here? There's no marks over there. So I just think we open up a can, and we need to think of the implications when we do some of these things. So I believe the streets should be marked on the side that you allow parking. Then there's never a question.
When would I be able to make a comment?
Oh, you can make a comment now. I mean, we're having debate, but okay. You can certainly, I mean, if you,
okay,
you know, we'll recognize you, sure.
I have a concern about marking parking spaces. Right now in Beachwalk, we do not have an issue with people parking on our streets and going to the beach or going and visiting other developments and communities. The people there are either homeowners, residents, or visitors. So we don't have that issue right now.
Well, there's 2,600 homes coming over the bridge off River Road. Those people are going to be coming to the beach. All this is in anticipation of expected growth that's coming. That's why we're trying to get a handle on it now. This is definitely a work in progress. I figure it'll probably take us 2 to 3 seasons to get it correct.
And I would also tell you, most of your streets are 20 feet. And if you allow people to park wherever they wish, you're going to have problems with the fire truck getting by. You may have problems with the EMT getting to your neighbor in the less than 3 minutes that they have been shown they can achieve.
I was just thinking that from a homeowner's standpoint, when something's marked as a parking spot, people will come and park there. We don't have an issue now, but it could be inviting and saying, it's okay to park on our streets.
Only within the lines.
Well, I've seen it.
I tend to agree with what you're saying. I think people will park there. But
what we're trying to accomplish here is to give those property owners something back and keep the neighborhood safe so the emergency vehicles can get
there. But if you open up the parking, then anybody can park there. Mm-hmm. Family of six gets out, walks to the beach, comes back, drops their trash in your yard, and drives off. And then
that's what it's going to be. Well, that could be happening for the last 15 years that I've lived here. And it doesn't happen.
The point is that we've come up with the right-of-way paved and the unpaved right-of-way to allow folks to park in that. Some people don't want to park in their unpaved right-of-way, so they would like to park on the streets. However, parking on the streets that are less than 20 feet is by law. That's 20 feet is by law not approved, but people park there anyway, and they park on both sides of the street, and they impact the emergency vehicles. So this is an attempt, when people tell us that, geez, when we're going to have the party, or we're going to have the book club, or we're going to have, you know, the graduation, or all important life events. This is a place that, okay, my neighbors can come, my friends can come, my parents can come and park on that side of the street.
How about vehicles like for landscaping services?
They could park in those spots as well, or in driveways. But
there's 30% of people are going to be hacked off with this. So what are you going to do?
Well, we're open to any ideas, any other ideas. Now, your idea about a permit process or a town, it still has the problem of designating where can they park on a 20-foot street.
You have four passes for people at your home, and somebody drives by and goes, oh, well, I can park here because there's four other people parked here, so they flip in not knowing that they have to have a permit.
It's not an easy response. It's going to be a practiced response, and we're going to have to find solutions that work for all of us.
It's been illegal to park on the street in Prairie Beach since 1973. We're just now enforcing it. We can't be... The town's been terribly nice for a long time. We can't be terribly nice.
So that is one point to, again, get the HOAs involved and let the HOAs determine how that fits. Along those lines, the town can look at other areas. And Jimmy and Mike, I would probably like to do a drive around with the two of you just on a few areas that might be questionable for additional parking back in the neighborhoods, just to get an idea. And anything we do, we would probably bring forward so that we get comments. Another item is marking new spaces on 421 and marking new spaces in the neighborhoods if that's what's required, and or on the larger right-of-ways if it is deemed that is acceptable. So we will be going through town. You'll probably see the golf cart or my car going around town looking for areas where there might be additional parking spaces, which will be reviewed by council and the department heads before anything would occur.
So, can we go back to the homeowners association first?
Sure.
So, one, I really want the homeowners associations to have input, but I'm not understanding how that works, right? So, so some homeowners associations have already sent out that even though there's town property that the town has said we're allowing people to park on, they've said you can't park there because of their covenants and restrictions,
yes,
right?
At least one.
Yeah. I don't know if there's others, but at least one, right? So, So the town has said this is our property and the homeowners can park on the town's right of way in front of their property, and the homeowner association is taking a different position because of their covenants restrictions, which I understand. I'm interested to see how it plays out, by the way, because I'm not sure how enforceable it is, but whatever. That's for some homeowner and their homeowner association to fight out, not for me, because I don't have a dog in the fight. Now we're talking about, okay, we have citizens that want more parking in an area, and homeowners associations, some do, some don't, because I think there's 7 homeowners associations, is that right? I don't even know how exactly how many there are. I should know that, but I think, is that 7? 7 to 9. I'm sorry, I don't know. I mean, I know there's a bunch of them, right? For any street 26 feet and over, the town has the opportunity to allow parking on the street by the emergency code, by the fire code. Right now, the town is restricting that because they're not marked. Because our ordinance says on pavement in Curie Beach, unless it's a marked space, you're not allowed to park there, right? It sounds like council, or at least your input to council, maybe council hasn't really ruled on it, is we're open for that as well, but we're asking for inputs, which I think is smart. And so I'm just interested, it can't be that open-ended. It needs to tell the homeowner station, you need to give us input on this topic by the next meeting, and here's the input that we need. Do you want parking on any streets over 26 feet in your area? How do you want that parking laid out? And how do you want it marked, right? Is it with signs, or is it on the ground, or what is it? But in the end, we're going to enforce it, so you need to mark it well enough so that your citizens aren't getting tickets. That's what I think, right? So I think, number one, we need a clear communication to each of the 7 to 9 homeowners associations that say that. And we should probably give them that these are the streets that are bigger than 26 feet wide, right? So I think Jimmy probably knows which ones they are. We can go through a map and say, here's the map in your homeowners association. Mm-hmm. Here's the 4 streets that this would apply to. What are your thoughts? And what are your thoughts on marking your community? And I'm okay that the markings are different within the communities if they want to try to make it aesthetic for their community. I think that's fair. But it needs to be clear enough that anyone going in there can see they're not allowed to park or they are allowed to park, so that we're not giving tickets to people that maybe came to visit for grandma's birthday party, right?
Is this temporary or permanent parking?
I think it's parking is parking, you know, is it?
So you make individual parking spaces that allow certain residents to park on our streets permanently?
You make parking spaces and we don't control who parks in them. Anybody parks there. They're on the street.
There is that condition, which we will get to after this discussion. So that's an important point in some areas of town. But for this particular discussion, David, I think your description is excellent. The intent of bringing it up is to see if council had a passion or a desire to involve the HOAs in this particular requirement. I think you're saying yes with
I think the issue is we've got plenty of feedback from citizens and HOAs that they have a problem, right?
Yes.
She talked about it in one. We have a letter from another that we have a problem in the HOAs with what council you've done. We're trying to address the problem, right?
Yep.
And inviting the HOAs to help is fine because they have covenants and restrictions, which all the people that bought an HOA signed off on, by the way. And some of those restrictions are way more restrictive than what council's done so far. But I'm open for helping them out, and I agree with you. It has to be clear enough so that anyone, even someone not from the HOA that goes in there, can understand where they can park. So the police department aren't given this insurmountable task of policing something.
Right.
And then if they want it to look different in their area, I'm open to some suggestions, but it has to be, the police chief's got to say, yeah, that'll work.
My HOA took it as no parking on the street.
Which is what?
Until
no parking on the street unless it's a marked parking space. That's exactly
until
right.
Until one of its members went out with a tape measure and discovered that our HOA street is 26 feet. Now that's a new ballgame.
Yeah, it is a new ballgame, but be advised to the HOA folks who are here, if your side of the street is designated as public parking, basically, or marked for parking, you will lose the ability to use your unpaved right-of-way because there will be other cars parked there.
Potentially yours, so, but
yes, potentially yours, yeah. Right? Yeah. Potentially yours.
Or your neighbor across the street.
Sorry?
No, if there's a marked parking space there.
If there's a marked parking space there, you know.
That's the paved right-of-way, not
yes.
the unpaved.
Okay, but the paved right-of-way is right in front of your unpaved.
He might or might not.
I can drive into my driveway.
Yeah, you might be able to get there.
Yeah.
So, somebody had a question, too.
Why not, because we're concerned about everybody from River Road moving in here for the summer on our streets, why not in a lot of counties on coastlines they have... No, I hate it because I've gotten a ticket myself in Fort Myers. Resident-only parking. You have to get those evacuation. Get your evacuation
stickers.
Your car is registered, and when you have company, they park in your driveway, and only residents can have a sticker on their car that they can park. So.
And I'm fine with that too.
If you're just cruising down the street, you're not going to look at everybody's vehicle to see if they have a sticker. So you're like, well,
the police
parked here.
Chief Good.
But I'm just saying, they'll already be there.
Well, you can put signs at the entrance to the neighborhoods. I'm fine with that proposal, but it doesn't fix all the problems.
Who do you care about?
Okay, one discussion, please. So David has the floor, then we'll
come. So I think the HOA, that could be part of the HOA proposal back. That doesn't fix the issue of people can't just park anywhere because they're blocking emergency vehicles.
No, but you have to have parking spots.
That's exactly right. Residential only. That's exactly right.
And it shouldn't be HOA because every HOA, the parking's got to be safe. I can't have parking on one side of the street and I get the next HOA and it's parking on the other side of the street. I mean, I really think that's going to be a town decision. So there's a clear right of way.
Well, I think it could change between the streets, which side. But I think the issue is, and I think the HOAs, that's a perfect proposal because I'm fine with it, residential only in the HOA areas. But resident doesn't mean HOA resident, it means Curie Beach resident. So the issue for the HOAs is if there's someone in the other HOA, I don't want fights between the HOAs. A resident's a resident, right?
Right.
Because we're not mediating that.
No.
Or at least I'm not. Maybe some of these other guys might.
Yes, you were saying something, and I interrupted you.
Well, no, that's why I'm sorry. I'm just confused because the concern for somebody parking inadvertently because they don't have a resident sticker seems to be more important to some people than the resident being able to park on their street. Like, my feeling is if I go to a strange place that I don't know, I have to educate myself and know where I can and can't park.
Right.
Almost everywhere we go. So why are we concerned about, you know, somebody who might drive here and park in front of my house when it's resident only and inadvertently get a ticket? That doesn't concern me as much as the community, the residents of Curie Beach being able to park in front of their homes. So I'm just a little confused as to why we're putting that much importance on a guy who might get a ticket because he doesn't know that it's resident parking only.
The fear is, right, wrong, or indifferent, that people will see people parking along the sides of the streets, and they will park there.
On the wrong side.
On the wrong side, or they'll just park there, right? And as we get more control near the beach, we definitely want to protect the neighborhoods. And that's what we're attempting to do here, right? Nothing in cul-de-sacs, so the fire apparatus can turn around and so forth. But the whole roar, if you excuse me, is that with the paved right-of-way and the unpaved right-of-way, there's just not enough spaces for the folks. So many people just want to continue to have parking the way it is, and we really, by statute and state requirements, we can't have it that way.
Oh, I understand that, and I understand the safety issue completely, but to go from what it was to nothing, to pull everything out from underneath everybody, to me is extreme.
Well, that's not what the council did.
No.
So the council specifically designated the unpaved right-of-way in front of every house in Curie Beach as the residents or owners of that property. And a homeowners association, yours, said you can't do that. Well, but I'm just saying, don't say we just did it. When we had a specific discussion about that specific issue of, okay, everyone's going to lose their parking. And the argument was, well, there's town property that the town can allow people to park at right now while we figure out the next step. And that's what council did. We, in fact, it went through two meetings and we rewrote the ordinance with the P&Z attorney just so that everyone could do that. So where you were parking on the street, you could have moved into your yard, except your homeowners association took the position that you couldn't do that.
Right. But even okay. if they, let's just, for argument's sake, that my homeowner association didn't take that stand. We had an issue earlier with irrigation. We all irrigate our lawns, and I think most people who live in Cary Beach take pride in what their lawns look like. So now do we want to turn the lawn into a parking lot? And do we want to, you know, not have grass, and so that when those cars pull off, you know, I mean, there's aesthetics, and then there's aesthetics. So what are we really trying to resolve here?
What we're trying to resolve.
And what's the compromise right. to do with that makes
is
safe and happy?
Yeah, we're trying to allow people to park in the town right of way, right, which is unpaved. You don't have to park there every day and destroy your grass, but if you are having guests and they pull up on that today, I don't know that that's a particular issue. I mean, people drive over mine every day, but that's neither here nor there. I'm not looking for pity on that one, but the point is that that's a temporary solution when your driveway is not significant enough. If you choose to park there and you make that, I mean, if you want to make it, put stone there or something, if you want to make it permanent, would be my guess. But it's really meant to be, it's a solution for you.
Well, I think council is open to parking on the streets that are wide enough.
Yeah.
We just got to figure out how to do that. And I think council is also open, very open to, in the homeowners associations that requested to say it's Cary Beach residents. Cary Beach residents, not homeowners. Right, not HOA residents, Cary Beach residents. So I think that's a great suggestion. And using our town stickers, which everyone's supposed to have on their cars, although a lot of people don't buy them now, they might change it more, right? I think would be very good. And then, you know, then the question is, okay, how do you communicate that, right? On signs entering the neighborhoods, residential parking only, you know, Cary Beach residential parking only. Is a pretty small sign, so it doesn't look so terrible going in all these nice homeowners right. association signs. And then I think that's pretty easy for the chief to enforce. The one concern is, how do you lay it out in the neighborhoods so that everyone conforms? Because if you have a resident sticker and you drive in and park on the other side when people are there, you've just blocked emergency access. And so somehow you have to set that. Whether you say it's all the east and north sides of roads, or whatever, and then people get tickets if they're on the west side and the south side.
Or like,
but then the neighbors
lines.
On those
little lines on the curb, like blue or red. Line
exactly
on the
right.
Curb,
mm-hmm. That's
that,
right.
You know that in the town of Cary Beach, if there's a red line on the curb,
that's exactly
you don't right. park on that.
That's
side.
Correct.
And so I think what council's asking is, and that's why I said we want to identify the roads and send it to the homeowners associations and let them let their guys fight it out on which side.
Avenue.
Yeah, I think it is too.
Sounds like a good idea.
Gray area that's really confusing to me.
Yes. Right. What's
now,
the problem?
The way it is right now, and that's the commercial vehicle parking.
Mm-hmm.
From my understanding, it says that we can landscape trucks can pull up and park. Construction trucks, vehicles can park. So that's fine. What happens when people have contractors come to their home? Like, my driveway doesn't fit any more cars because I have five people in my house and five cars.
Mm-hmm.
So if we called and needed our floors done and we were having an installation come in, that's not construction, that's not landscaping. How do we as a community allow these people to still come into this community and not worry about getting a parking ticket? We had yesterday a commercial photographer taking a picture of a real estate home, and he pulled out of the driveway to park his car so he could take the picture, and then he went in to round the back to take the pictures, and he got a ticket for parking on the street. So
where should he park? Is that your question?
Well,
he could park in a right of way, because he can park in any right of way, and it's only if the homeowner complains that somebody will come and take an action against that vehicle.
But so how does he know that? How does anyone know that?
If he comes to see you, hopefully you can explain that.
But how? Okay. So this is something that we have to address again, putting the onus on the residents to deal with one more aspect of a car not being able to park, but how come a landscape truck can? What's the difference?
I'm not sure about the landscape truck, as you're mentioning. I don't recall us saying that anybody can, that a landscape truck can park on the paved right-of-way without a marked space.
So contractors can park, but we can't.
No, but she said that when I spoke to her.
No, okay. We did say that commercial vehicles could park along the street while they did their work.
So how come they can do it? And well,
it says it in the ordinance?
Yeah.
I don't believe the ordinance says that. But
it does not say that. It, no. I didn't think
it's not. It doesn't say that.
And so if they can't, then where do they park?
Well, you know, I think
this is just. I'm not looking for an answer. I'm just saying this is one of the unintended consequences. Where do they park?
Yes.
I had a house being built next door to me, and every day there was four or five trucks there, and most of them were in the street because they couldn't park anywhere else. Mm-hmm. What are they supposed to do?
Park within the ordinances. Now, I know that sounds crass, but you can see the difficulty here. Trying to protect the neighborhoods, opening up the right-of-ways. By law, you can't park on a street that's 20 feet. You allow contractors to park in the street, you're going to impede the fire, the EMT, and the police. So, but nobody wants to have street marks. Right.
Nobody's ticketing the contractors.
Right.
I had a ticket on my car, but the truck next to me didn't have a ticket on its car.
So that after the 15th?
Yeah. I mean, okay. they're still parking and they're not getting tickets.
I know our guys are still being, you know, they're trying to be reasonable.
So then I guess my question is, are we going to ticket the landscape trucks who pull up into Beach Walk and they have their big trailers and there's nowhere for them to park? Are we going to ticket them?
I believe.
And will they want to do business in the town of Curie Beach?
I believe, according to the ordinance right now, the chief, if he believes that there is an obstruction, has the right to ticket them.
Okay. I mean,
if you have barefoot on one side and you have, I don't know, the other guy on the other side of the street, somebody, they both deserve tickets.
So, as a community, are we going to go around and ticket every pickup truck that's at a construction site, every delivery truck that comes in and sits for an hour to unload itself?
I don't know, but we have
moving trucks. Like, are we going to do it all, or are we not going to do it all?
We're going to do it at the discretion of the police force as they determine if there is a problem. Or we will do it at the discretion of the homeowner if they call and say, these people are in my right-of-way, and I don't want them in my right-of-way. So, as blunt as that sounds, that's where we sit at this point, and that's why we're trying to come up with a variety of other solutions here. But that's where we sit.
So with a lot of gray. We're sitting
No, we're sitting with looking for ways to resolve issues. There's no gray right now. The gray is pretty specific. It's this. This is right, and this is not.
But you just said it was at the discretion of the chief if somebody.
It is at the discretion of the officer. They're not going to drive down the street and stop to make necessarily write every individual a ticket because they have a lot of other things to do.
Okay, and I'm not like trying to nitpick, but then I go back to my car's parked here, and down the street is a landscape truck. That landscape truck is going to be blocking more than my little car would if we wanted to look at it from a discretionary safety point. So do we really want our police force spending their time trying to pick and choose what doesn't seem like the best use of their time to make, have to really think about all these little decisions that they have to make?
Well, they could decide not to make a decision and just write a ticket for both of them.
Okay.
So back to one, the same thing we've been talking about is exactly the issues you're talking about. Do you have any better solution? What is your solution? Just let it go like it was? Is that what you're asking the council to do? even though we know we're violating North Carolina state law doing that?
No, I'm not. I'm trying to have a debate of ideas to try to get to.
That's what I was asking. So I'm asking, what's your thought?
I definitely think that where parking can be permitted, it should be permitted by law.
Okay.
I agree
Fair enough.
With that.
Okay.
I agree that we can't mess with the law that if it's not safe, it's not safe.
Okay.
I believe that since a great deal of this is driven by beach traffic and non-residents, that resident stickers is a great idea.
Okay.
And I also think that limiting rental unit parking is a great idea to not have influxes with people who live next to short-term rentals. I think that limiting the restriction on the homeowners, the residents, as best we can, is the best way to go. I also understand not everyone's going to be happy.
Well, no, we understand that part, right? We've obviously got that part pretty well. Over the years, we've got that, right?
As it is right now, you have families who can't even park in their homes. You know, there's not a lot of them, but there are some. Who can't have, you know, we can't have one person over to our house right now. I mean, we can't. So, what happens at Thanksgiving? What happens at Christmas? What happens at graduation? What happens during all these events?
Well, we've had to put a vehicle in storage because we didn't have room. And we rent a space in the storage lot. And until it gets all rectified, we can't have it sitting out in the street. So we've rented a spot in Monkey Junction to store a vehicle.
Okay. Jonathan.
To Holger's point, I would like you to think about something. If you have 9 different HOAs, you're going to have 9 different varying opinions, mm-hmm. provided they're all 26 plus feet that have right. the ability to do that. The HOAs do not own the roads.
I agree.
They do not own the right-of-ways.
I agree.
And I do not have confidence in my HOA to make the proper decision.
I second that.
Therefore, I would like you to make the decision.
I 100% agree. I said inputs, right? I said inputs because yes, I'm with you guys, not for any other reason than the responsibility and the ownership of the roads is the town of Curie Beach. That's why I was very clear in a couple of other things I said. The answer will be a Curie Beach answer, not a HOA answer. Because it's a Curie Beach road, and it's a Curie Beach right-of-way.
Right.
Now the issue for you guys in HOAs is, your HOAs, because of the covenants you signed, have authorities that supersede ours. They can be more restrictive than the town. They're allowed to be because when you bought in their property, you signed off on those covenants. That's part of the deal. We can't totally fix that. What we can do is make rules that make sense for the entire town. But if an HOA is more restrictive, like, sorry, you can't park in the unpaved right-of-way, that's between you guys and your HOAs. You got to vote people out or do whatever. Because we give you the authority, but you signed up for something more restrictive when you bought in an HOA. That's just
but
the reality.
But if the HOA has no authority over the streets, then that's not an issue, is it?
Well, if we put parking in the streets, you're exactly right. But I'm just saying that they can be restrictive on the, or at least they say they can. I don't know if they really can or not. That's for a lawyer, not me. But they've said that they're more restrictive in the unpaved right-of-way. I don't know what the real answer is, and I'm not going to get in it because I'm not a lawyer and I don't want to be. I'm an engineer. But if we
unpaved right-of-way, it's dedicated. Streets been given to the town. Belongs to the town.
I know. There's the lawyer. Mm-hmm. Whatever. But I think what I said was we give them inputs because I agree with you. The town will end up making a final decision. But I think it is wise for the town to seek inputs from the HOAs just because they're supposedly your reps too, right? But it's like the state and cities. We've got the authority and we're going to use it. We'll just get inputs. And you guys will be mad at me in the end, and I'm fine with it.
Yeah. Well.
A point on the businesses being impacted, for instance, the photographer, I would think that would negatively impact the community if businesses find it difficult to come here and do what they need to, and there's this parking issue and they're getting tickets, is there any way you can address that? I don't know if there's solutions. But
well, if we get to on-street parking, we can address some of that. If you are allowed to use the right-of-way by your HOA, your unpaved right-of-way, you can fix that by allowing it to be used for your purposes. If you don't have a full driveway, you won't have that particular issue. If you have a full driveway, and I recognize some families have three teenagers and you're going to have five vehicles, that's a problem. But beyond that, there should be solutions in what has been provided. We really, in some of these areas, are trying to give the additional parking that people have asked for special events. And now, you know, restricted parking for residents, that's interesting. That should control who can park there. So that is something to consider and look at in more detail. But they still, you're still telling us you want more places to park.
On that note also, I live right next to the beach access at N Avenue.
Yes.
And we've had many cars or vehicles staying there overnight. We believe some of them are from the rental in front of us. And then also there's a piece of property that is not our property, and there's the post that separates where the public parking is. There's a piece of land right there, and I believe it's my neighbor, but I'm not sure. But there's every so often there's a chained piece there, vehicles parked, and there's a sign that says private property and vehicles will be towed. So I don't know if the town is related to that. I haven't seen anything.
Yeah, that's but, not, we haven't done
so
that.
So what's happening is our neighbors, when heavy weeds come, 4th of July, we have overnight guys staying in those parking lots. And I think that's against the law.
It takes up pretty much the whole parking
lot. So it's not public parking. It's probably about 8 to 10 of those cars are just people in Atlantic Avenue parking there all weekend, all week. Cars don't leave.
So you're talking about right there on N Avenue between Atlantic.
Correct. It's in the, between the designated parking area and their house.
And one,
there's
yeah.
two spots there.
The only place there should be allowed parking from 1 to 5 on beach access, I believe, is along Atlantic Avenue. So that would not be an appropriate place for them to park overnight. I don't believe.
They don't have that because I originally sold that property. There are not two deeded access parking spaces to them.
No, they're not.
They're not designated. I sold them.
But it specifically says private parking and the vehicles will be at owner's expense.
And he blocks it off.
And he blocks it off and they have vehicles parked in there.
They park there anyway. That's brave.
No, it's just no one's brought it up.
Nobody's had anybody tell.
There's vehicles there, but the chain's in front of the vehicle.
Yeah, we just keep ripping the rope off.
Yeah, well, you can call the building inspector because they're basically barricading off town right away.
But mainly, people also spend the night in that parking lot. I don't think cars are supposed to be there overnight.
So that's
we have vans and vehicles parked overnight. I'll go to bed at 1:30.
Yeah, that one's not.
I'm up by 6 and they're still.
I don't think that one's. I don't think that one's marked like the rest of the beach access. That one doesn't have a sign for no overnight parking like the rest of the beach accesses, does it? I don't think.
We can get that corrected.
Yeah, we can fix that.
Well, I mean, we got to change the ordinance because I don't think it's deeded that way, but.
But just on.
Yeah. Did you? I'm sorry, refill.
That's okay. I'm pretty much done. I felt that was somewhat related to some of the parking issues. And
it
then
is.
Bringing people, as you were saying, more people coming on. If you're pushing them off the neighborhood streets, are they going to, people, more people going to be trying to
Yeah,
follow,
we're going to see
some
spaces. More of
so,
right. We're
just
see
trying
some
to bring that
days.
Issue, so it's going to be addressed.
I had a thought about the commercial vehicles that we were talking about before, like land feeding vehicles. When we moved into our house, we had a military move. A semi truck actually came to deliver crates of belongings. So there would be no place for that truck in the current situation, unless it was less than 30 minutes. I think there's a provision for staying for
delivery
less than 30 minutes.
Is less than some period of time. I forget.
Yeah. So my thought was that perhaps there could be consideration for if there is a scheduled something that's going to happen that may take more than 30 minutes. If there maybe this could be some process to alert the emergency services that a vehicle may be on the street at this time period or something like that, that may mitigate some of the risks involved. I just wanted to think about it.
It's not a bad idea. It's just the execution could be difficult. If you take every one of these people who are working on lawns. Every one of these people who are doing anything in town and parking on the street, calling Chief, either Chief Bowden or Chief Kennedy, and saying, "Hey, we have a vehicle here, we have a vehicle there." It just gets too unhandy. We don't have the kind of staff to run that type of process, and I don't think you want to pay for it. So
a temporary pass may be for a day.
But it's not a bad idea. There may be, like the resident parking, maybe there's some things that can be done. Don't stop thinking. Please, don't stop thinking. And we're not trying to be argumentative, because you're trying to give us what the problems are. We have a pretty good understanding of what those problems are. We have a few ideas here. We aren't very good at getting through them right now. But bring forward ideas. There may be, you know, there may be a panacea in here somewhere, right?
Where's paid parking on that?
Paid parking?
Agenda.
Right now, there is no paid parking on the agenda. And I would tell you that until you have control of parking, where would you like us to have paid parking?
No, I'm just...
So, right? So once we have control of parking, we could have that debate.
To make paid parking affordable. Where we would make money off of it.
Not to make money, but you're concerned with all the homes on River Road, like, influxing to us, because they have to pay for Wrightsville Beach, they have to pay for Carolina Beach, so where are they going to go to Curie Beach? Well, if you then got on that bandwagon, and I'm not saying I'm advocating paid parking, I'm just saying if you got on that bandwagon of, oh, and you have to pay for parking in Curie Beach too, well, maybe they would find something else to do
we would make
Wrightsville
Beach look cheap.
I'll make a motion now. $25 a day.
Well, I mean, you know, I'm just saying that, you know, if that's, well, we get a lot of people because of the free parking, and you're concerned about an influx of people. So.
We've covered this subject pretty handily. I think we all understand the issues. I'm going to quickly name a few of the other things that are on our minds, or on the minds of the parking committee, and we'll go through them quickly, and then we will consider all of the input we've had and the things that we can in fact do. Ocean Dunes, we have three public beach access points. The thought with Ocean Dunes was that we would take a look at diagonal parking on 50 feet of the right-of-way on each of those public access points, thereby protecting the rest of the right-of-way that belongs to Ocean Dunes. So that is an item that we will consider, look at, and see if there's value, and see if the chiefs and Public Works think that that is doable or attainable, and that we're not going to destroy some infrastructure pipe or something else. There's all kinds of interesting things that come up. Marking new spaces, we will go through and look to see where there are spaces that we could potentially mark them, probably more on 421 and then in the neighborhoods on streets of 26 feet, and we will have that discussion. Potential to use Avenue E, Avenue I, and 6th, and the ocean access with bumpers. We would have to look at what's the appropriate time to lay that out and do that. I know Public Works is incredibly busy just keeping up with garbage right now. And that's not a pun, that's just the truth. Right, Jimmy?
Absolutely.
Keeping all those, the ocean fronts clean.
So EI and 6th are already being used as parking areas. You're talking about the medians?
Putting yes. bumpers in them, yeah.
No, I know. Yeah. I know we need to mark them. But I guess the question I have is, right now, it is Council's and PNZSM recommendation that they stay parking areas, right? Even until we get bumpers laid out.
Yeah.
Yes.
So does the current ordinance allow that? Because it's town property in between streets. So if someone called and wanted you to write a ticket, Chief, is that a ticketable parking area or not right now? I know we're not doing tickets, and I don't think council wants you to. I just want to make sure we're straight on what our ordinances allow and don't allow.
I would think that the allowing folks to park in the, well, in the unpaved right-of-way in front of their house, that would eliminate
this. But this isn't in front of their house. Well, this isn't in front of their house.
Oh, it's front of her house across the street.
It's across the street, so it's not in front of their house. It's not contiguous to their lot. I think we want people to still be able to park there.
Yes.
I just don't want, I want to make sure our ordinances allow that. That's all I'm asking, right? Okay. Yep. When I looked at it, I couldn't understand, is it allowed or not? That's why I wanted to ask P&Z. I know once we lay it out, it is allowed. Just E's not laid out right now, but I don't think anyone wants it to not be a parking area because they'll park in other places. Is it okay with it not being laid out? And the same with the church on 6th Avenue. We want the church to be able to park there.
Yes.
And that, I mean, we're okay with that, but it doesn't have, it's not clearly marked. Do we need to mention that separately, P&Z guys?
Probably do.
So when we send the stuff back to you guys, can you make sure that that's laid out in there? And then Public Works, once we get time in the fall, we'll actually put the bumpers out.
Jimmy did say he got the handicap beach access was laid out.
Yeah.
That was at least done for the summertime.
Okay. I just want to make sure we're clear on it, because no one in the town that I've heard of has complained about those three areas being parking areas.
No.
Other than around the stop sign where you couldn't see, and we delineated that so you wouldn't have a safety issue.
Jimmy took care of that.
Right? Okay.
We do have some residents who park parallel.
Well, that's why laying it out will make it better, right? Laying it out will fix it, but I don't think anyone, at least no one that I've heard, wants those to not be parking areas. I haven't got the feedback.
So that should go back to P&Z. That's good when we get a lot of this stuff identified. And then the last particular idea, and I'm surprised nobody has had problems with that, at least come forward, restricted spaces. We have homes principally on 421 South, I'm sorry, Fort Fisher South, that are older bungalows that do not have off-street access to their property, meaning they don't have a driveway and they have a curb. Therefore, we should probably look at allowing them a restricted parking space identified as such. And then if people are parking in that space in front of their home, they would have the opportunity to call the police, would have the opportunity to have it towed. So that would probably be, that would probably help maybe 6 or 7 residences down on the south part of town.
You feel like that's all we have? I mean, I'm just asking.
Yeah, I don't think there's many. A lot of the folks have already cut and they park up in their yard. But there are a few.
Well, we're offered a cut.
Or we could.
I think we need to look at the
right
6 or 7 and decide, yeah. Right? I think it's an individual thing, because restricted spaces are hard for the police to monitor and cause problems. But need to identify them with pictures and then decide what there is.
Yeah. So the thought would be maybe a red space with the number 202, if that's the address.
Right.
And then the police would do nothing to any cars there unless they had a phone call from the owner. So it would be owner enforced, basically.
Right.
So those are a mess of the ideas, plus the residents-only parking, which we got. And we'll take a look at what other fine ideas come forward. It's a work in progress. We'll stay at it.
So can we just cover action items so I know where we are?
Yeah, sure.
So the ones I got, number one, is a communication to the HOAs of which streets.
That's right.
For their feedback for council. And the end date, I think, should be a week before the next meeting.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
So we can talk about it at the next meeting.
I would like to pick up on that idea about the timing. Some HOAs don't have a meeting. They're either going to get a letter from us in the next couple of days, put that letter out to their association, but they may not have a meeting of the association or even a board meeting prior to our next meeting. And so you may not get that back.
Fair enough.
And if their covenant says this type of issue must be voted at their annual meeting when there's a quorum or something, I'm saying just if it is, I would like to recommend that even though we want feedback,
right,
one of these HOAs may not have a decision until January.
Well, my point would be we're giving you the opportunity to give feedback. If you can't call a special meeting and give us feedback, then we'll move on without it. But I think, so, I mean, from my standpoint, you know, it's like we have multiple residents pointing out that right now there's an issue for them with the parking we have. This adds or lessens that issue, so we shouldn't take 8 months because an HOA can't meet. Because I agree with him, we're going to make a decision anyway, so we're just asking for input. Okay. You know, and if your HOA, if the input is, sorry, we can't give you any input because our covenants don't allow, okay, thanks. You know, I mean, because they've got email, they've got all kinds of ways to get input. And the you know, and they can bias it or not, whatever, but input's input. We can say this HOA, here's the input, and half their members won't like it anyway. I'm sorry. Is that about right? 50-50, right?
It's the third meeting we've had, and we're finally now getting feedback from HOAs.
So I think it has to be by August 7th, right? Or I don't know when the August meeting is now, Nancy, but that seems the week before. So we got time, because it'll take me a week to read through all the input, and I want to understand it before we talk again.
Our next meeting is the 21st.
Okay, so then
the 12th.
14th, yeah.
Something like that.
The 14th is a Tuesday, right?
Yeah, 14th is okay, yeah.
8-14. Mm-hmm. So for feedback, right? And mm-hmm. I think.
When's the August meeting?
21st. Okay. So that's one, right? So,
yes.
Mayor, we need a communication to the however many HOAs there are.
Right. And we'll do that.
So that's the first one. The second one with Ocean Dunes, you said you were going to go and look at the impacts.
Yes.
And I think Ocean Dunes has came to council and asked to stop all parking along there. I think a good middle ground is to isolate it to where our public accesses are.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if 50 feet is the right answer or not.
As a member of the board of directors of Ocean Dunes, we totally support that.
Yeah, that's good, but,
yes.
You know, so I think giving something down there but taking something away is a good middle ground, right? I think, because mm-hmm. right now they're parking all over the place and bumperizing it's the right thing.
So I'm taking that one, and I'll be looking at that with Jimmy and the police chief.
Right.
That'll be one of the drive-bys we'll look through.
And then the new spaces, is that you're going to lay it out with the police chief? And
well, what my proposal is that we have probably a P&Z. We have a P&Z volunteer.
Ken Richardson was going to take the town golf cart.
Ken Richardson would use the town golf cart.
Okay, cool.
And probably another. And they're going to do the review, come up with proposals, which will then be reviewed by Public Works and Fire and Police.
And the long stretches where that are just open, they're going to break that up into
sections. No, I'm
so
saying
that people can't jack it up.
Yeah, no, I'm saying. And then, EI and 6 goes
back. That's a layout, yeah.
EI and 6 information goes back to P&Z so that they look at the ordinance for how to make that allowed parking, since that's what the town has been doing and everyone seems okay with that. And then I guess the one thing is for
P&Z will have that done by the September meeting, so we can get it
and then
up in the fall.
And then the residential sticker issue, we just got to understand from the attorney and P&Z if that's allowed or not, what we have to mm-hmm. do. I'm sure you got to do something.
There's another issue with residential sticker.
Right.
And I brought this to the board last year.
Okay.
Those of you who don't know it, when you get your annual bill for your license plates, they're already charging you the residential sticker cost right
now.
No.
We separated that out when we did that with the state. Arlen will be glad to cover that with you. So we changed
your motor vehicle license tax.
Yeah. That's right. We split those out when the state changed that and started charging. We split that out. So anyway, I guess the issue is, are they allowed or not? You know, what do we have to do that? Because I think it's a great idea about where it goes. And then, thank you, because you like that sound. That's St. Curie Beach, just so you know, if you're born here. But anyway, so we just need to know what we're allowed to do and not do, mm-hmm. so we don't do anything dumb.
Yes, you don't hurt the Powell bill stuff or whatever.
Exactly right. Right. Or any other weird thing.
And then the restricted spaces that will also come from the citizen input on the market spaces.
Yeah.
So
cool.
Those are the items for now.
Yeah.
Okay. So, like I said, a work in progress. Moving on.
Hmm.
Designation of a council liaison for the new recreational department. We need a council liaison, and I would like to, I would entertain a motion.
I second Joe's motion of Alan.
About 35 years experience.
There you go, exactly right.
Okay, so let's have a motion. No, actually, that's a designation. Alan?
There you go, there you go. Exactly right.
That's
nice.
Right. As the mayor, I can do that to you as the mayor. So you got it. Nikki, if you have any complaints, tell him. Job description, public works and utilities director.
Nancy?
Did you want to talk about that at all?
It's your direct...
It's the changes we made when we filled the position, right?
Yeah.
I make a motion. Jimmy, you've read your new job description? When we offer you the job? You're good?
Yeah. Right.
Did we leave anything out? We didn't leave anything out as far as no.
You still want it?
Make everyone happy. I make a motion we approve the job description for the public works director.
Okay, we have a first and second and no discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Job description for the recreation director.
Mr. Mayor, I took it upon myself. Nikki and I have reviewed this, looked at it along with Nancy, and we're good at it.
Okay.
I'll make a motion we accept it. Second.
All right. Motion and accepted. All in favor?
Aye.
So be it. Discussion and consideration of new business. Formulation of a town public building naming committee. Ladies and gentlemen, and gentlemen of the council, we have a 7 or 8 page description that was formed in 2007, I believe, on how we name public facilities, how we would name memorials, how we would name dedications. We have individuals who would like to submit donations to the town as memorials. Park benches for beautification. So we need to begin the process for a naming of public facilities. And it's just naming the building or dedicating the building or dedicating places or dedicating conference rooms or whatever we would do to identify an honorarium or whatever we would do to allow for people to make contributions, particularly to the town. Sorry. I thought you were telling me what to do, dear.
Not this time.
So what I would like the council's, passion or views on setting up a public facilities naming committee. Now, I would prefer that this committee be set up. It has to have two councilmen. So one would be me. And the other would be, as we determined among ourselves, I guess. And I would like it to be probably particular to a particular event. If it has something to do with Parks and Recreation should be engaged. If it has something to do with fire departments, the fire department board should be involved in it. If it has something to do with any particular building like the community center committee should be involved in it. If it has to do with the beach improvement committee and beautification committee should be involved in it. So I would say we would have two standing members of the committee, which would be council, and three members that would be selected by council depending on what the particular recommendation is.
I'd be happy to help be the second
council. Okay, John, thank you. Are you guys amenable to setting up that? Do we have consensus to set up this naming committee?
Yes, sir. Yeah, I think we need it.
Okay. All right. So it shall be.
Memorial benches was part of that. Donations to the town was part of that. Therefore, mayor updates. I don't have any. Commissioner items.
We just had the one, the joint land use plan with Matsu. I'll read this in case no one knows what's going on with this. I was not heard of it. The Cape Fear Council of Governments is preparing a joint land use study in conjunction with Military Ocean Terminal Sunny Point, Brunswick County, New Hanover County, and the municipalities of Boiling Spring Lakes, Carolina Beach, Curry Beach, Leland, and Southport. The purpose of the joint land use study is to identify potential land use conflicts around the military installation and the railroad corridor between Matsu and Leland that might impede long-term sustainability of its operations. The study will include recommendations for Matsu and the local government partners to consider implementing in order to mitigate any land use conflicts that are identified, improve communication between the installation and local governments, and identify other ways in which Matsu and its local partners can work collaboratively on issues of mutual interest. We do have a meeting coming up on July 31st. The study partners will be kicking off the public involvement portion of the joint land use study process with meetings in Southport and Carolina Beach. The public is invited to attend one of these meetings to learn more about the study and hear a presentation from Matsu officials and the consulting team that is preparing the joint land use study. Please note that the presentation will be given twice, starting times, I'll go over those, during the course of each meeting, and so attendees are welcome to drop in at any time that's convenient for them. Monday, July 30th, at 5 p.m. until 7:30 p.m. at Carolina Beach Town Hall in the Council Chambers. First presentation will be at 5:15. The second presentation will be at 6:30. So I am vice chair of this study along with a gentleman from Brunswick County, County Commissioner, but I do think all of us that are on council that can attend should at least show up for at least one of these.
Okay. Have we given them our requests?
Yes.
Have they seen them already?
We had a meeting with them, the stakeholders meeting, and then Nancy and John went back for a second meeting.
Will this particular meeting be any feedback on those requests? Or it doesn't
think,
sound that
I don't
way.
Think the feedback will not come until October, November. And then okay. This is a year-long process. It's going to go on until next May.
Yeah, they'll never give me
Yeah.
Okay. Good information. If anybody who can attend should attend, it's an important point. Any other commissioner items?
Not here.
John?
Dave? Yeah, just we had our first hurricane preparedness meeting tonight, or not really meeting, presentation, I guess. We'll have the second one Saturday at 11:30 a.m. here. She's looking. I think it's 11.
It's 11. Maybe 11. 11. 12.
Thanks, 11. Yeah, I won't be late.
Is it here?
And for anyone it's here. And for anyone that they can't attend either of those, the presentation is online. So please realize it's hurricane season and we should be prepared. So please make sure you're prepared. That's all I have, sir.
Alan? Okay, Joe, you finished?
I'm done.
Okay.
Make a motion, we close. That personnel was mine, right? Yeah, we don't need it. So I make a motion, we close.
Okay, I have a motion, we adjourn. And a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Done.
Thank all y'all for attending.
Yes.
Thank you.
Keep coming.
Reach out to us if you ever have anything.
Mr. Mayor, what do I do with my Home Depot carpet delivery on Thursday?